Thanks for inviting me into your home, your long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi cab, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the internet, or off the interstate, rather, or the internet, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett, coming to you coast from our Toronto affiliate, Talk Radio AM 640 here on the shores of Lake Ontario. These are dark days, my friends, but thankfully, Coast to Coast AM is a place where voices from all over the world can still come together and discuss just about everything, and much of what gets hashed out on this program is not heard elsewhere in the mainstream media. You know that. I don't need to tell you. But let us not forget that this type of program, this coming together and exchange of ideas, is in this world the exception, not the rule. The world is changing day by day, minute by minute, and around the world people are being told what is permissible, what is not permissible to talk about. Sometimes it's done in subtle ways, sometimes under duress. In the most disturbing way, it's happening here in North America. There are social media outlets, and you know who and what I'm talking about, that are censoring a sizable segment of the population, deciding what is acceptable in the public discourse, and this is odious. So let's all take a moment and appreciate how truly fortunate we are to be able to participate in programs like this, and given Coast's enormous reach in the tens of millions, that makes this program and its vast listenership a force for good, a positive force in Western civilization. Coast to Coast and programs like it may just be America's, Western civilization's, best hope. And you, the listener, are a huge part of that. Never forget it. Never take it for granted. The recent slaughter of innocents in Nice, France, 84 dead, many children, hundreds injured a few days ago, must be discussed on the program tonight. And something changed for me after this horrible, heinous terrorist attack against the people of France. In fact, it was a statement by the Prime Minister of France, Manuel Valls. Did you hear what he said? He said, the people of France have to learn to live with terrorism. Really? Are we all then to come to terms that this is the new normal? There is nothing to be done about this? How would we feel if President Barack Obama were to announce, or our Prime Minister here in Canada, Trudeau, were to announce that we all have to live with terrorism? Western civilization is, I think, I believe truly, in an undeclared war against jihad. What is jihad? What does the Quran say about jihad? Can the West coexist with Islam? Can the West coexist with Muslims who subscribe to Sharia law? These are questions that must be discussed. If we're at war with an existential threat, jihadism, we better understand what that term means. Only then can we figure out how to win. Internationally recognized authority on national security strategy and counterterrorism, Dr. Sebastian Gorka will be here in the final 2 hours of the program. Dr. Gorka has briefed the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the National Intelligence Council on the necessary strategy to destroy ISIS or any group that follows the ideology of global jihad. He's the author of Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. And as I say, he'll join us in the last 2 hours of the program. Now, despite the chaos, despite the violence, this is still Coast to Coast AM. And while we don't shy away from geopolitics, we continue to explore the big questions that have always, in large measure, defined this program. A few weeks ago, I was in my hometown, Brantford, Ontario, Canada. I was asked to moderate a panel of top UFO researchers who squared off with a panel of reporters at the Alien Cosmic Expo. It was a rare, intelligent, sophisticated dialogue exchange between the Fourth Estate and the disclosure movement. And there has to be more of this. One of the adjudicators for the panel was Bob Mitchell, a former crime reporter for the Toronto Star. He's written several books on the UFO ET phenomenon. And it was at the same Alien Cosmic Expo about a year ago, he had a chance encounter with a young man by the name of Jason Quitt, who would become the co-author of Bob's next book, Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Traveler. Quitt's experiences with shamanism and healing and astral travel and encounters with entities on the various astral planes struck a chord with Mitchell, and they decided to collaborate. In fact, their collaboration, as you'll discover, was most serendipitous. What they've come up with in their new book may change just about everything we think we know about the UFO ET phenomenon, including abductions. It may, in fact, change much of what we think we know about who we are as a species, the nature of time, and, well, just about everything else. In other words, fasten your seatbelts, because all bets are off. And isn't that what this program does best? If we are in an undeclared war against a philosophy and ideology fundamentally opposed to Western values, remember, those values include the right to explore, question the very nature of reality. That's something worth preserving. Coast to Coast AM is something worth preserving, something worth fighting for. So come on in, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool. Come warm yourself by the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett. You're listening to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Bob Mitchell is a Canadian author and journalist who covered crime and sports for the Toronto Star for more than 35 years. He's a field investigator for MUFON, based in Ontario, and an executive with MUFON Canada. Bob is also co-founder of Toronto Newswire Services at Toronto News, or at Tor Newswire. Jason Quitt is a graduate of the Institute of Energy Wellness and a student of Algonquin Shamanism. He's been training and working with many teachers, shamans, and traditional healers from around the world. Jason is also the author and teacher of Egyptian Postures and Power and the Yosef Codes, Methods of Personal Healing and Practice. As a channeler of universal and dimensional energies of healing, he combines these methods and modalities of energy medicine, shamanism, and dowsing to assist those on their own personal paths of healing and enlightenment, and together. They are authors of a brand new book, out early this spring, called Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Travel. Bob Mitchell, Jason Quitt, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
Fabulous, Richard. I just want to again thank you for being such a tremendous moderator at our ET hearing in Brantford a couple of weeks ago. It certainly was a revealing... And that's my dog barking. a revealing, I guess it was 3 hours long, a revealing 3 hours of scintillating information. And it really left everybody, I think, wanting more, as you said.
Well, I think it was for the first time, not the first time necessarily, but among the, the first times that...
Well, it was the first time in Canada, for sure.
Yes, but the first time we've had a really intelligent, sophisticated, nuanced discussion between members, and I have to really commend the journalists that were on that panel, because they did ask probing, intelligent questions.
I mean, that was the thing that amazed me. I don't think we could have gotten any better questions from a panel of journalists, and yet when it began, I was extremely disappointed because... As you know, I contacted every major mainstream newspaper basically in Canada, particularly in the Toronto area, and all of their reporters, and also contacted, many of the stuff in the United States, CNN, the Fox Network, CBS, ABC, NBC, and virtually got no replies, not even an acknowledgement that, hey, thank you, but no thank you. Very few replies came back to me at all, was I surprised? Probably not. Disappointed, yes, because I thought here was the chance finally for somebody in the mainstream to, at least come out and see this. And for God's sakes, we had Travis Walton there. If anybody deserved to have a feature on somebody in the newspaper, in a mainstream newspaper, it was Travis Walton. Yet nothing. and that really irked me quite a bit.
Well, the interesting thing, my observance is that the talking heads, the celebrities in the Fourth Estate, and we identify with them as, you know, the anchors of the nightly newscasts and the network newscasts and so forth. That's a highly, it's producer driven, and these people are coddled. They read off teleprompters. They have questions provided for them. But then and obviously we want those high profile people to be involved in a panel. But what you end up with are people with some courage. People who sort of toil in the mainstream media but don't necessarily get the recognition as some of these more high-profile talking heads. But these people who are really trained, you know, they started off covering a house fire, and they've got these, you know, they've got the bona fides, really. And those are the people that ended up on this panel, and those are the ones that ended up asking intelligent questions, you know, that they thought up. They didn't have a producer sitting there writing them down. So
yeah, their questions were absolutely fabulous, and I couldn't have been more happy with that. And I guess we're just knocking our heads against the wall, because I am absolutely convinced that of the 500 or 600 emails that I sent out, 10% of those people actually wanted to come, believed in what we were doing, and but felt a little bit that if they did come or even went to their editors, they would be sort of laughed at. And I thought we had got a little further along, but I really think it's going to take some big event. And maybe Jason and I and our next book that's coming out, what we're going to announce a little later on in the program, maybe that will do it. But certainly there's a lot more to be gained out there in the mainstream media.
Having said that, let me welcome Jason Quitt aboard the program as well. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Terrific. Thank you. A pleasure to have you both here. Yes, let's just get that out there, that the both of you will be making an announcement on this program about a forthcoming project. We'll just put that out there for now, and we'll come back to it. Now, it's interesting. We mentioned the Alien Cosmic Expo in Brantford a couple of weeks ago. And it was at that very same, I think it was the inaugural Alien Cosmic Expo in my hometown, where the two of you first met. Now, this is kind of an interesting or odd pairing, because Bob, you strike me as this kind of a hardscrabble journalist, 35 years in the trenches, reporter.
Every time I hear that, I feel old, but it went by very quickly, and the last 3 years was covering sports, so
right. Just the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. from a dragnet, and then you meet, kind of a chance encounter at the Alien Cosmic Expo with Jason Quitt, who comes from an entirely, you know, different world, shamanism and healing and astral travel, and the two of you have this serendipitous coming together, which has really changed the course of both of your trajectories. And maybe I'll get Jason to basically explain how the two of you came together to write this book.
Sure. Go for it, Jake.
Sure. I was asked to be a part of the Alien Cosmic Expo by a good friend of mine, Joanne Eady, who is running the show. And I was actually quite nervous to come out to an alien show, because I've never really done that before. I'm usually coming out to healing shows or energy medicine shows and talking about shamanism or consciousness or my personal story. So I really felt kind of out of place there. And I was nervous that, who's going to listen to me at an alien expo. And I've never heard of Bob Mitchell before, and as I walked into this conference, Bob was actually sitting right in the lobby, and he had a big sign printed, and it had a picture on it of this mantis being. And I looked at it, and it was a very close rendering to different mantis beings that I've come in contact with in the astral world or dimensional world. And so I walk up to his table, and I pick up his book. I think it was called Intrusion, with the mantis insectoid being on the cover. And I looked at it, and I looked at Bob, and I said, I've seen that guy before. It's a really good picture. And that was basically it. And then I hear that he came to see me in my lecture.
And Bob, because I mean, the serendipity, you know, doesn't stop there. I mean, he sees a picture on the cover of your book. He's seen an insectoid alien in his astral travels. You go to his lecture, which is infused with, you know, shamanism and the shamanism tradition and healing, and also talk discussions revolving around ancient Egypt. And as it turns out, you know, your wife, Bob, is a huge fan of ancient Egypt. She's got,
yeah,
you know, pictures and artifacts.
She's always felt a connection to Egypt. Frankly, I haven't, but she has, and, you know, I have these, you know, drawings of Egypt in her house and little statues, and we even have a small sarcophagus, right? So it's, she's always been drawn to it, and anything you see on TV, you know, she watches all the time about ancient Egypt, and, you know, her favorite, you know, monster growing up was the mummy, so it was just
right.
Everything, you know, when Jason said that he had seen this being, and of course, it was in the astral life, that was something I didn't even really know anything about. All the UFO stories that I had been writing about involved people who at least thought they had physical encounters with physical beings in their bedrooms, in cars, and out in the fields. And so I didn't know anything about astral traveling or really not past lives even, or anything like that. So this was something completely foreign to me. And when Jason first, you know, got up talking, the first thing he said was, I remember my pre-birth memories. In fact, I chose my parents. And when I heard that, I don't think I heard anything else for the next 15 minutes, because I kept thinking in my mind, like, wow, I mean, I've never heard this before. There's got to be a story here.
You had decided within moments that you were going to write a book either about Jason or with Jason.
Yeah. I mean, I at the time, I don't think I thought we would co-author a book. In fact, I didn't even know what his whole story was, but just the fact that he knew how his parents were before they were born and had selected them, and I thought, well, if he did that, there's got to be more. And as I hung around, I heard about past lives in Egypt, but even a lot of that still, I really didn't concentrate on. It was sort of like just that first part, and when it was over, I said, I want a book about you, write a book about you. And he said, that's funny, because I want to write a book too. And it turned out that we got together. Jason was getting married later in the summer, so we waited until after he got married, and then around September, we started collaborating, and it just went completely smooth. Hardly any hiccups along the way. It was much a journey of discovery for me as it was for him in the writing process, because he got to put down his life story and basically only a bit of his life story, and I got to enter a world that I knew nothing about and I'm still learning. And actually, you know, every time we go out to these conventions, I experience things that I can't explain, and so I know what he's talking about is actually real.
Was it a question that for both of you were trying to find the common denominators, the common threads that link the UFO, ET phenomena with, you know, your whole world, Jason, past lives, you know, the multiverse? Were you trying to find, you know, the intersects?
I always thought that aliens and UFOs were part of this whole multidimensional world. That was my experience and still is my experience. And I know that there's physical ships and physical beings, but I would say about 95% of all the encounters that I have had are extra dimensional, which means that they would happen to me when I'm out of my body, or I can feel them in the room, and then I'd have to leave my body to experience them just like they're standing in front of me. But most of these beings are not in the third dimension. They would be in the astral or multidimensional realms. And I know that there's many people out there that can experience these realms.
All right. Listen, Jason, I'm going to interject. We'll come back in a moment on the other side and discuss some of these experiences you've had with these entities in the multiverse. Bob Mitchell, Jason Quitt, co-authors of a brand new book called Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Travel. The Beatles taking us into the break with Don't Let Me Down. You're listening to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. The Staple Singers, I'll Take You There. Mavis, I'm not sure where there is, but you sing and I will follow. Richard Serrett sitting in here on Coast to Coast AM. You've all heard about this live video that was cut when a UFO supposedly flew over the Earth. And NASA now is speaking out over this infamous International Space Station clip and the truth behind this online video, which has really sparked a frenzy amongst UFO believers, has been revealed, with NASA, again, finally addressing claims it cut a live video feed from the ISS when a spacecraft flew past the camera. The truth behind an infamous online video, again, finally revealed, and the shocking footage filmed live from the International Space Station earlier this month shows an unidentified flying object above the planet. But soon after the object appeared, the live video feed from the ISS was cut. Now, not for the first time. This has happened to the NASA feed before. The shocking video sent conspiracy theorists and UFO hunters into meltdown. Despite being far away, the object looks quite large and appears to fly over the Earth. And the UFO appears to grow larger and larger as the clip continues until the video feed is canned. Well, you can watch the footage. Just go to the In the News section at Coast to Coast AM, where our webmaster has posted that. And NASA, again, always turns the screen blue if they see a UFO in an attempt, a failed attempt, mind you, to hide it from the public. And that's the view of a number of conspiracy theorists and UFO hunters. So check it out again in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. George Norrie and friends are living it up in Asheville, August the 27th, 2016. At 5 p.m. So hold on, get ready to see a show like nothing else. Join three-time Emmy Award winner and host of Coast to Coast AM, George Norrie, for a night of fun as he welcomes ufologist Micah Hanks, the Paul Revere of our century, William R. Fortschin, and paranormal investigator extraordinaire Joshua P. Warren. And again, that's in Asheville, August the 27th, 2016, 5 p.m., and you can find out more, again, at coasttocoastam.com. In mere moments, back to my conversations, our conversation with co-authors Bob Mitchell and Jason Quitt, as we discuss Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multiverse Time Traveler. Stay right with us, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Bob Mitchell, Jason Quitt are with us, co-authors of Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Traveler. And Jason, much of what you talk about, although it is in being experienced, as you explain, in the astral plane, almost sounds like an alien abduction of sorts. I mean, you are taken by these entities, these shadowy figures, and basically sort of dropped off on in some usually unpleasant location where you're basically forced to witness these indescribably horrific events. Share a couple of those with you, with us, if you will.
Sure. So, in my early 20s, I started to have experiences of sleep paralysis, and this would happen continually. And what ended up happening was I started to really try to fight myself to wake up from these experiences, and once I pushed so hard that I actually popped myself out of my body and had an out-of-body experience. After that experience, I was able to leave my body. And when I started to do this, different beings would come to me at night and literally reach in my body, pull me out of my body, and take me to different locations, which I'm assuming is the future, because it's the only way I could describe what I went through. And so some of these scenes is the first scene they took me to. They dropped me off, and it looked like the entire earth was burnt, and the sky was very red. And you can see in the distance, you know, trees are burnt down, and everything just looks destroyed. And then they took me down into a bunker where there was a man there, and it looked like he was suffering very much. So after they showed me that scene, they pulled me back up into outer space, dropped me back down through the roof of my house and back into my body. And that's kind of how it started, this whole astral time travel, because it is out of your body, and you can experience everything like you're physically there, but nobody can see you. So you can't really alter, you're just observing the scene. The next place they took me was to a prison camp, but for children. So that was pretty horrific. And after that experience, I really, really didn't like my new ability, because when I came back to my body, I was pretty much white as a ghost, and I couldn't really talk to people. I was shaking. And these would definitely be astral abductions, because
astral abductions. That's a new one on me. I've not heard that term before. Astral abductions.
Because I did not have a say in that I did not want to go.
Right.
It's almost like I was just taken, dropped, shown these things, and then taken back. So
let me go back to the, if I could interject for a moment, Jason. Let me take you back to the this horrific image, or you're abducted on an astral plane. You're brought to some point in some timeline in the future where you are looking at this internment camp for children. And if that's not bad enough, I mean, these are young children, I think 5 to 13 years old, and you see them being essentially mowed down by tanks.
The only way I could describe it is they weren't wasting bullets. So they were killing these children probably the easiest way they can think of.
Well, I don't need to tell you, in light of this horrible massacre in Nice, France, where it was a 13-ton lorry or truck, slamming into human beings. Did you sort of think back to that memory of that astral abduction during the recent events in Nice? Because let's say the parallels there are kind of frightening, don't you think?
Yes, but you know, a lot of these journeys, they happened to me over 10 years ago, and I've kind of tried to wipe them out of my mind, truthfully. The funny thing is that when I came to write this book with Bob, I thought that, you know, I'm just purging these memories. I'm getting them out of my mind. It was almost therapeutic to tell this story. And, you know, I thought that once I got these stories on paper, then I'd never have to think of them again.
and little did we know we'd have the success we have. And it's just been incredible, because everything that Jason has told me that I put in the book, it hit a nerve somehow. People throughout the world basically have written us and even come up to us at different conferences and book signings that they've experienced things that he had, and they thought they were kind of crazy. They didn't know that these things were actually physically possible or in the astral world, and they're almost grateful to the point where they're, you know, they're hugging Jason and just thanking him profusely for coming out with this book. And you got to remember, when he's having these astral experiences, especially with the prison camp, what makes it more horrific is that he's not just observing these things. He's observing them, and he's hearing and experiencing the sounds and the screams and the smells. It's a real event taking place in real time for him, except nobody can see him. So it's just a very horrific experience for anybody to ever experience.
Bob, has this altered your view of what is meant, really, or what is going on with the, for example, the alien abduction phenomena?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
now we're not talking necessarily about something that's happening in the third dimension, and it explains a lot, doesn't it, in terms of...
To me, it was the missing piece that I was trying to figure out for, even before I started writing these books. So many... When I wrote the first two books, Intrusion, Alien Encounters, and What If, Close Encounters of the Unusual Kind, they were most of them were experiences that happened in the physical world, and that's what I knew about. I didn't know anything about the astral world, but it wasn't until one of the people in the What If book explained to me what happened to him in the astral world, and you got to remember that was before I met Jason, that I started thinking, well, you know, a lot of these people had the same start to all their abductions. They're in their bed. Excuse me. And suddenly they feel themselves floating or through a portal in the wall and up into a spacecraft or somewhere in a tunnel or something, and then they're on a slab and medical experiments are being done to them, and they're all pretty terrified. But it occurred to me that in the physical world, it's kind of impossible for somebody to actually fly up in the sky and go through a portal and unless the alien technology has that ability. To me, it's more likely that the aliens who are able to do this are taking your consciousness. You're still sleeping in bed because how many spouses say they've never left? How many kids have come into the room and said, you know, Mommy and Daddy never went anywhere, but they've come back saying they were somewhere. So their consciousness is being taken up into this portal, into this other world, into the other dimension. And the mind actually controls pain and physical abilities, and your body's just sort of lying there. It's sort of like somebody who loses an arm and feels a phantom pain. So I really think that it's your consciousness that's there, because I went back and asked some people who I talked to, and I asked them, when you were on these spaceships, do you ever recall seeing your body? And almost everybody told me that, when they thought about it, they sort of saw around them, they saw the people in front of them, the aliens, but they weren't conscious of their body, actually, which makes me think they have this 360-degree vision that Jason experienced in all the times he's in these astral travels. So,
Jason, if we're talking about an abduction on an astral level, mm-hmm. In other words, not of the third dimension, the fourth dimension and beyond, then are we... I mean, who or what are we? Are these entities? Are we talking about? I mean, that would tend to exclude extraterrestrials, because they're not. If they're not of this time, or they're not of this dimension,
well,
the third dimension.
I think they're still extraterrestrials, but they're extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings.
Interdimensionals.
Right. I think Jason would agree that there are physical extraterrestrials. But the vast majority of entities out there, I think, are in the fourth, fifth, sixth, or whatever dimensions.
So we need to start talking about IDs instead of ETs.
Maybe. Right. I mean, and quite a good thing here tonight, astral abductions, and I think that may be really what's happened to the majority of cases.
Jason, what do we call these entities? I mean, and who you didn't get a great look at them. They were just kind of shadowy, but, I mean, did they identify themselves? Are we talking Palladians? Are we talking Greys? Are we talking reptilians? Who are they?
I've come in contact with many different beings. The ones that looked like just outlines or shadows to me that took me on these time travel experiences They didn't even speak a word to me. I can see them, and if they were to reach out and touch me, I could feel a physical touch. But they did not communicate with me in any way except to take me to show me, like just to observe something. And I have had different, I would call them alien encounters, because I've seen things that people would call aliens. Like I've seen those big mantis beings that, you know, they kind of duck under the door to walk into the bedroom. I've seen that a couple times. They tried to speak to me, but it was very confusing because it was almost like they were speaking their language and I wasn't getting a translation. So I was just hearing like a foreign language, and I was just very confused on how to respond to them. I've also,
and most of these encounters happen after you get into bed, you fall asleep, and then again, this is happening on the astral plane. So you're in another conscious state.
That's correct. And the thing about this is that when those other beings came to take me through time, it's like almost like I didn't have a choice. So I'd just be sleeping and suddenly I'd be yanked out. So my sleep would be interrupted. My dreams would be interrupted. So this is like completely not a dream. It's a very physical thing, and it's quite scary, actually. But there are times where, as I'm going to sleep, I can consciously leave my body. So I do it by choice. And when I do it by choice, then I could have these encounters on my own free will.
Bob, let me ask you, as I keep referring to you as a kind of a hard-scrabble, you know, journalist who has approached the UFO ET arena with, you know, healthy skepticism and employing journalistic skills and so forth. What do you do with someone like Jason Quitt? I mean, this is all sort of anecdotal. How do you reconcile this with your previous approach to this whole arena? Because people, you know how divisive the UFO ET community is.
I mean,
and someone like Jason Quitt comes along, and you, let's be honest, I mean, this could discredit everything that you've done so far.
It could, but the validation to me is when people come up to him and, you know, they look at him almost like, I don't want to say a god, but they look at him as like this supreme being that they've been waiting to read about all their lives. And they've had so many similar experiences. You know, Jason, the way Jason described himself to me, and again, it does take a leap of faith, you know, at the beginning when somebody says that, yeah, you know, you're a multidimensional time traveler. First, I have to figure out what that is. But then you quickly learn that not only is he a multidimensional time traveler, but he's an entity, basically, that has been incarnated on Earth along with, I think he thinks, maybe thousands of others like him to help raise the consciousness of the planet, to help erase the trauma that we experience in our past lives and get us back on a road where we can start doing something to the planet. It sounds, you know, almost like the flower children of the 70s, but it is a powerful experience for people who meet him. And he has this crystal collection that people actually, when they hold a crystal, they become almost having a religious experience. And I had a funny thing, an interesting happened to me at one of the shows. We were at the Toronto Health Show. And to me, you know, crystals, I had no idea what they are other than nice decorations. And only knew what I knew from the book, that they had some kind of special healing power. And people left and right were coming up to the booth, holding the crystals and closing their eyes. And they really felt like they were in some vibrational different dimension. That's the only way I can describe it. And I'm looking at these people and thinking to myself, boy, I really wish I could experience what they're experiencing because I feel left out of this. And so Jason gave me these two little rocks. They're rocks that were, I think, meteorite, 2 billion years old, I think, Jason. Is that what they were?
Yeah, aurolite crystal is 2 billion years old.
And
listen, I'm going to interject here because I want to pick up on this discussion about these crystals and this experience that really cemented for you, Bob, Jason Quitt's bona fides to a certain extent, and we'll do that on the other side as Otis Redding takes us into the break here on Coast to Coast. Bob Mitchell, Jason Quitt stays with us. My name is Richard Serrett. Thanks for hanging out.